Welcome to the CFO Show. I'm your host, Melissa Howardson, CFO of Vena. CFOs play a crucial role beyond managing an organization's fiscal well-being. They act as guiding forces through challenging times, and they need to possess strong narrative skills to help transform financial data into engaging stories to drive business outcomes. In this episode, we explore how effective storytelling can propel companies towards their strategic goals. Joining me from the UK is Stephen Bates, CFO of Canfor Healthcare. Stephen is a commercially oriented finance leader with a strong track record of results. Stephen, welcome to the show.
Hello, Melissa. Very nice to see you, and I very much look forward to speaking with you today.
Stephen, let's start with you sharing a bit more about your background, as well as what Canfor Healthcare does. And I'd also love to understand, high level, what is your finance structure look like?
Of course. Yeah, sure. So I'm a chartered accountant, trained with a major firm in London. And for many years now, I've been working in commerce, and I've been working as a finance director. For part of that, I've got a keen interest in financial planning, and also particularly find it crucial in terms of developing key teams and strong people that that work well together as a team. My current team is about 11 people, going across financial control, payroll, and also administration, which goes across our homes. And we've put a lot of effort into providing strong support to the business over the last 7 years, and I think put some major improvements in place. Canfor Healthcare is a nursing home company with 11 care homes in the southeast of England, and all of our residents within the elderly care space, if you like. And it is, you know, a critical service that I feel we provide to our local communities.
We're talking about storytelling today, which doesn't always naturally the first thing we think about when we think about finance. And yet it can be such a critically important skill, particularly in times of change where we need to get people quickly rallying around the change and on board with going through it. So what are your thoughts in terms of finance, one, as a leader through change, but then also what the role is of storytelling in that?
Yes, and finance does play a key role for change that hits a company, be it if there's acquisitions and mergers, implementation of new financial systems, cost reduction initiatives, and all of these are areas that we in finance within my team have dealt with in my period in the current role, and providing that support to the executive team and the wider business is key. I think developing storytelling and narratives for what's going on, and you know, back in 2017 we acquired two new care homes for the business, and that required a narrative to take the team through how this was going to work, and also to bring the new care homes into the fold. And we had to develop a story to say, this is the approach we're going to take to these care homes, how we're going to integrate them into the business over a period of time that meets our needs, but also that doesn't rush them, that takes them with us effectively with engagement and using that, and understanding that these are emotive times.
Do you have an example where storytelling was impactful in terms of helping to set the stage for a change that might have needed to happen?
Being a care home business, the COVID-19 epidemic had a significant impact on our business. So early in 2020, we started to see the messages that countries in Europe were being affected, particularly in Italy initially, by COVID, and it was having major ramifications on care homes, stopping families from visiting, basically locking down care homes. we could see this was also going to have major financial ramifications because, very sadly, we were seeing people pass away from COVID at much higher rates than would normally be the case. So we, finance, worked very closely with the rest of the business, with the operations side of the business, and I think providing quick reporting on the impacts of changing income levels happening very, very fast, and feeding that through into what do we need to do here? You know, our staffing levels are going to need to change because if we staffed for, you know, 90-95% occupancy and overnight we're now running at 70% or 80% occupancy, then we will need a different level of staffing, and we need to quickly change the model, the working model at the home that's been affected, and take the home manager through that change. So I work very closely with our chief executive and chief operating officer to explain the need for change. Cohen businesses are quite high agency businesses in normal times. So actually, because of that high agency, it does mean that the ability to flex down the workforce was more straightforward than it would have been without that. So actually being able to say, well, we can reduce the staffing, but actually, hey, we've got too many agency staff here, and those are staff that aren't contracted. So the ability to use that as part of the story was also useful.
And let's talk a little bit about transparency in times of change. I think that in storytelling, it's always important to be very clear and honest and transparent so that people understand where you're going and don't think there's something hidden there, or they're looking for the hidden meaning in what you're explaining. But in times of change, I think that the importance of that gets magnified, which sometimes can be an awkward spot we find ourselves in finance, in terms of how I want to be transparent enough, but how do I make sure that I'm not so transparent that I'm starting to share sensitive information that cannot be shared in that moment? How do you balance that when you're navigating times of change?
It's very important to look at your data and understand what data you want to share, and which data is confidential and either inappropriate to share from a data protection point of view or from a commercial sensitivity point of view. So I think you need to have a good understanding of what you can share and how sometimes it's the more higher level message that you can get across that comes from looking at a big picture data and without needing to share the detail that's got you to that place. So sometimes it's perhaps sharing the overall, the high level visual items without necessarily showing how you've got to that point.
Yeah, that's where I find the graphs can be helpful, or like you said, the pictures. It doesn't mean you have to include all the detailed numbers necessarily, but helping people to see the trend lines can be, you know, one way of trying to strike that balance. Now, I also think that storytelling can be a really great way not only to help get a decision made or get people to understand where you're going or why you need to go there, but also to connect dots to your strategic vision as you're going through what seems to be day-to-day things. And it may not always be obvious to people how that project they're working on or the decision that's being made ties into the strategic vision. Do you have any techniques that you've used for that, that's helped you to connect those dots for employees?
It's a matter of seeing where the strategy is today, because it does change over a period of time, and articulating the look, we may be in a different place today than where we were and through circumstances, but there's still, I like to put to be positive in terms of my approach, and to use a positive energy and to actually articulate what the vision is, if you like. And yeah, I think that's probably what I'd say.
you know, absolutely how you deliver that matters, the tone of how we're telling the story. Sometimes I find steps can help too, whether if you paint a picture of this is where we were, this is, you know, where we got to, the next leap we're about to take, you know, step three, this is what it is. And so it shows people how we, where we are on the journey towards achieving that end goal, and that they can look back and celebrate the accomplishments of what's happened in the past as you're making your way there. It, you know, and I find short lists, whether it's three or five steps or accomplishments, just sometimes can also help people to understand, you know, with few words and a picture, what it is that we're doing and how this can connect, where you just try to simplify it.
It's a bit, you're developing a narrative, really, and a story with a beginning, middle, and an end. And
exactly.
So, yeah, you start with, look, where are we now? And the middle is, what are the sort of current challenges that we're facing? And the end is, where are we looking to be? And, you know, where will we be once we've overcome these challenges?
The CFO Show is brought to you by Vena, the only complete planning platform natively integrated with Microsoft 365. With Vena, your finance and operations team can maximize your productivity and efficiency to deliver data and insights to your whole business faster. Vena lets your team use the Microsoft apps they already know and love, like Excel and PowerPoint, while giving your business the power of scale through a robust centralized database and AI capabilities. Learn more at venasolutions.com.
And the end is, where are we looking to be? And, you know, where will we be once we've overcome these challenges?
You know, we're stewards and enablers of the business, and we need to make these decisions not with emotion or our gut feel necessarily, although sometimes that's appropriate. But the more we can use the data and help shine a light on the data so that others see what we're seeing, or maybe they see something that maybe that they weren't considering in the decision they were making, that's how we can really help to keep a balanced approach to help guide the business towards the right decision. And I think in doing that, it's really important to leverage the data as a foundational part of the story as we're telling it, so that we know where we need to go and what we're trying to get across, but we need to use the data to help people understand that this is more than just a gut feel or an emotional or the way that, you know, Melissa wants to do it. But this is, you know, where I'm going and what I'm laying out as the path is backed on what I've seen in the data. What are your thoughts on the importance of data in the storytelling, and how would you, how you go about picking the right data to show?
Back in August of 2022, we're subject to a ransomware attack, which took out our billing systems and also KPI system, which we used for monitoring key performance indicators, particularly around care home occupancy and fees. So that took out the system completely, which was managed by a third party. So we were left with manual processes for recording billing and developing KPIs. And that was a very challenging period between August 22 and early 2023. So we needed a system to drive occupancy and average weekly fee key indicators. And that's when we did take the journey with Vena, and we implemented Vena to do initially the occupancy KPIs, average weekly fees. Later on, we used that and developed Power BI dashboards, which I'll sort of come on to. And then we also implemented Vena for financial reporting and financial planning. But in terms of the KPIs, you know, prior to the ransomware attack, the previous billing system had a pretty good KPI suite, but it was quite old-fashioned to look at and visually not very exciting. So it was a real opportunity to say, look, can we design something that gives our care home managers and our key executives a really good feel for the performance of our homes? And for me, with KPIs, it's what is crucial, what's critical in terms of running the business. And with a care home business, it's really occupancy, average weekly fees for our residents, and then the source of funding for those residents who's paying the fees, the principal sources. So we a little later on, we developed Power BI dashboards that integrated directly with Venna. And those dashboards we've now rolled out across our business. And they do give the care home managers and senior management visual charts showing how occupancies has progressed historically, but also more information on average weekly fees and funding types. And those are really crucial data for the organization.
Once you have, you've identified your KPIs, as you just mentioned, and then in terms of rolling them out to the organization, I found sometimes we in finance fall into the trap of, okay, I've got a bunch of dashboards for you now, here you go. But if we don't weave it into a narrative or help people find their way through it, whether that's, you know, this on the side, if in, sometimes in the dashboards, you can write the, you know, here's the one or two things you should know about this report this month. This is what I want you to glean out of this data. But also sometimes I find if it's a presentation, even the way we order the data can help us get the story across. And so being thoughtful, and I think sometimes we don't take the time in finance to sit back and look at, okay, this is all the data now. How am I going to present it simply in an order that's going to help people draw the right conclusions or see if there's things that I'm trying to correlate with each other? Do it in a way that makes it very naturally come along that you get to the same conclusion. And I think also sometimes that means picking what data we're not going to include, because sometimes we have such pride that look at all this great information and insight I have, all this data. But if we dump too much of it on the user, they get lost in it and they don't even know what the point is that we're trying to make. And so, you know, moving things into appendix, I find sometimes works, or just saying, hey, it's great data, but not for this, not for the point of this meeting or this presentation, because you really don't want to lose where you're trying to go in too much stuff and be swimming in a sea of data.
I find when you're reporting to the board or executives, you may have, obviously you have a group wide position, but if you're actually working with the business, the operations, it needs to be more focused and specific to that operational unit. These dashboards that we built, they had the data, which was monthly data, but they built a vertical table down with the data going down the report. But actually visually, most of the time people are used to seeing the months go horizontally. So just making that switch also meant that it mirrored what the charts were doing. But, you know, sometimes the data developer doesn't necessarily see, well, that's the right answer to go for straight away.
Yeah, it's interesting. Even just sitting and thinking about that visual, it sounds so silly and not something we may think of as, you know, well, finance doesn't need to be amazing at making these things. Yet it may, your point might be misunderstood if the data is presented in a way that doesn't match what the reader's expecting to see.
Yes, absolutely.
One of the other things I have found is even deciding the frequency of the data and the time periods, because sometimes, you know, I've been presenting stuff monthly and it's almost just getting lost because it's just this report every month and people aren't seeing it because the trends, you can't really draw a trend out of a month. So it's easy to sort of ignore, especially if there's these ups and downs. And so sometimes I like to look back and go, okay, is this a data element that would it be better to glean some insights if it was presented quarterly or semi-annually or annually, and taking those moments to think about how you might want to adapt what you're going to show and what the story is that's going to go with it by just rethinking it, because we fall into the trap of doing things the way we may have always done them.
When I'm preparing reports for the executive team, I do look to vary the content. So there'll be some content that the team will want to see every month, sort of the primary financial statements and, you know, compared to budget and key variances, those kind of things. But there will be areas where I want to home in on, and maybe that, you know, we have a lot of work on receivables management, on debt collection. And actually, we've made a substantial progress in that area, which we can show many, many reports to demonstrate how that progress has been made over the last sort of 18 months or so. But people don't necessarily need to see that data every month, and they may want to see, you know, it's sometimes helpful to provide them with a higher level snapshot and sometimes to drill down into a bit more detail. So I do find that varying the contents of what I provide, and so that it's not the same report every month, that, as you say, people could get a little bit just used to seeing the same thing.
We talked about how critically important being able to tell the story and bring people along for the ride is, especially in times of change. What do you think are some of the key steps in taking people through a change?
Engagement is absolutely critical. I think you have to engage with the audience and understand the position that they're in. So, because people generally are resistant to change, and even minor things people can find unsettling. So it's engaging with people, getting to understand the position they're in, and then I think using sensitivity, taking them through what the change is and how it will impact them personally. So, and doing it at their speed. I think also it's important to get feedback from people, and actually, being a care business, we are pretty good at feedback, and we do a lot of surveys for our residents all the time in terms of how the care, but also feedback from the staff is important in terms of particularly over periods of change, and both on a sort of formal level, but on more of an informal level if you're making a specific change initiative.
That engagement and feedback can be overlooked because you're so in the moment and trying to get through the change that it feels like extra, I don't have time for that. And yet I have found it's the absolute thing you can't forget to do, because it's going to be so much harder to bring people along through the change. And sometimes, you know, I might bounce whether it's the way I'm going to tell the story or the way I'm thinking about it, what I'm seeing in the data, off of a few friendlies internally. To say, hey, when I say this, or if I lay this out this way, does this resonate? Or what do you think? How do you think this is going to be received? It's been so helpful and constructive in terms of being able to get a different perspective on what we're seeing and how to be able to tell this in a way that's going to resonate with others.
I think that's a really good way often to get informal feedback from some of the key individuals and from people you know, and that informal feedback can help you to then work through a more focused approach.
Stephen, thank you so much for joining us today. Really appreciate having you on the show. Now, whenever we have a guest, we do have two rapid fire questions that we like to ask. So are you ready?
Absolutely.
All right. First one. What is your go-to strategy for staying productive during the workday?
I'm a people person. I kind of like being around people. Maybe it's not a typical accountant thing, but so I do like being in the office. And I think staying productive, it's good at least once an hour to get up and have a walk around, not to just be at your desk all day. I think it's good to use as an opportunity to interact informally with the team, with other people who are also in the office, and throw ideas around and also see how they're getting on in their lives too, see that if there's anything major that could be impacting their work, those kind of ideas. So I find that helps me just to kind of have that informal contact with people, and maybe that's, you know, once or two or three times a day, whereas the getting up and moving probably once an hour, just to not be sat too still, just looking at a screen on a call.
It can be a long day just sitting there zooming away for 9-10 hours.
Sure.
What always helps you to turn a bad day around?
It's good to get outside into the great outdoors, and we're lucky here in Bournemouth on the south coast of England, so getting out for a walk on the beach is always great to do in all kinds of weather. We're sort of between pets at the moment, but I think if you've got a dog, then for me, dogs are a wonderful company as well. But I'm sure people can choose other pets as well.
Yeah, here in Canada, getting outside is a good idea, but some days you really got to bundle up to get out there. Depends on the time of year, for sure. Thanks, Stephen, so much. Again, appreciate you sharing all of your experiences and insights.
My pleasure. Yeah. And I very much enjoyed it.
If you'd like to learn more about today's topic, please visit the links in the show notes. Looking for more great CFO show content? Sign up for our free newsletter. Each week, you'll get a roundup of exclusive content to help you grow and drive strategic transformation. Visit the CFOshowpodcast.com to sign up now. For the CFO Show, I'm Melissa Howitson. Until next time.